Hey, everybody. Welcome to another bonus episode of the Go Get Outside podcast. This is your host, Jason Milligan. Welcome back. Welcome aboard. Today, we will be featuring the second of the Chickaboom series. And if you didn't listen to our previous bonus episode where we featured the first episode of the Chickaboom series, it was a live stream series created back in 2019 by previous guest Cindy Wyatt. It is a for women, by women panel discussion show about topics that affect women in the outdoors. This episode once again features Cindy Wyatt, Severia Tilden, and Marilee Valcaz, and this time they invite on guest Liz Thomas, who you may know from the thru-hiking community, and also a previous guest on this show. This episode is called When Nature Calls, and it is about the three P's, peeing, pooping, periods. As before, you can listen to it here and get all of that valuable information in the regular podcast feed, or if you look down in the show notes, you will find a link to the YouTube video where you can watch this show. So with that, let's get to Chickaboom Episode 2, When Nature Calls.
Welcome to Chickaboom TV, where we deliver off-trail, lively, and live discussions that will ignite the fuse to your outdoor activities. For women, by women.
We've put together a panel of outdoor experts and influencers to kind of kick off the conversation with you about, you know, to try to help answer your questions and concerns to get you outside with confidence.
Awesome. So if you were tuning in just a moment ago, we had some audio difficulties with Facebook. So we just decided to start back over again. Thank you so much for joining us and excuse that interruption. So without further ado, let's meet our panel. Severia Tilden, join us again. Thank you so much. You're a part of the dream team.
Thank you.
Severia, you can tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yes. Hello, everyone. I'm Severia Tilden. I am the founder of The Adventure Us, and I'm also an outdoor educator and guide, and my personal passions are rock climbing and mountaineering and backpacking, and I've just started doing mountain biking, which is super exciting, yeah. But I love getting outdoors, so glad to be here for the conversation.
Thank you. Yeah. The fourth member of our panel today is Liz Thomas.
Yay!
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Such an honor.
We're honored. Yeah. You have quite the long list of accomplishments. I don't know that there is a trail that you haven't been on in the United States. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, certainly. So I'm a long distance hiker, a thru hiker. Mm-hmm. I previously held the women's unassisted speed record on the Appalachian Trail, which is a trail that goes from Georgia to Maine.
Wow.
Oh, wow. And I've since gone on to hike the Pacific Crest Trail, which goes from Mexico to Canada, mm-hmm. and the Continental Divide Trail, which goes from Mexico to Canada as well through the Rockies.
When do you sleep?
Every night. Sometimes I get more sleep since it's a backpacking trip. That's the great thing about it.
I love that you've made this your lifestyle. And look, your name is
She wrote a book. Yes. So I still do long trails. I've hiked 17 long distance trails, and I really wanted to share what I'd learned over the course of it, and to really create the book that I wish had existed when I first started learning how to backpack. So that is this book, Long Trails, and it won the National Outdoor Book Award for Best Instructional Book for people who don't need long distance hiking.
Wow. Congratulations. You can get this book in REI, and if you visit us in Burbank, you might see Marilee and I there.
It's a great book. I own it.
So Marilee, tell me a little bit about yourself, or tell the audience, because...
my name is Marilee Valcaz, and I work for REI in Burbank. And I'm an outdoor enthusiast, of course. I am an outdoor educator and adventure coach. I enjoy mountain biking, hiking, backpacking, mountaineering, rock climbing, et cetera. So,
very cool.
I think that covers it in a nutshell.
Yeah. I think. There's a lot of expertise here. Hi, my name is Cindy Wyatt, and I also work at the REI in Burbank as a lead and also a field instructor. I'm an event director for my own, like, trail running and hiking events, and an ultra runner. Awesome. Yeah. So there's another guest that is not sitting here on the couch and is not this little guy right here. So Melanie Jones is going to be on Facebook contributing remotely. She's the community manager for Diva Cup, one of our sponsors today. Yes. So as you start asking questions, you might see Melanie start contributing and answering some of these. So welcome, Melanie. Thank you so much for being one of our sponsors. She's on the East Coast, so she's up very late, and we thank you very much. So that segues into one more of our sponsors is Loa Boots. They have really put a step forward and have donated a pair of shoes that we're going to be raffling off. And Saveria is going to let us know a little bit about how we can win a pair of these wonderful trekking shoes. I have them on my feet right now, and they have gone miles and miles and miles
and they look
with
like
me.
It.
That's right. That's why they're under the table.
But they've held up extremely well.
Yeah. So, Saveria, tell us about like how our
how to participate.
Can contribute.
Yes. So, as Cindy mentioned earlier in the conversation, this is a live and lively conversation, and part of that is done with your participation. So we really encourage you and would love it if you could be adding your comments, stories, ask us questions. We're going to have a Q&A at the end, and so we will be able to answer some of your questions at the end. Any questions that we don't get to live, we will follow up with you on Facebook. And for participating and by adding those comments and stories on that Facebook feed, we're going to go through after the show and randomly select a winner of the Loa shoes and also some Diva Cups.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So your discussion can win some prizes.
Yes.
Yep. So, but hopefully
start
the information
away.
That
Type
you
away.
Gain from this show is going to be the prize enough.
Absolutely.
Priceless.
Yes. Priceless. Yeah. So let's light the fuse on the discussion. What's it going to be
let's
today?
Let's do it. Well, today we are going to talk about the three P's. And that's the three P's in the outdoors. That's number one, peeing. Number two, pooping. And number three, periods.
These are all natural occurrences and shows that you're a healthy human being. Woman for the last one, having a period. But these are all just healthy things. But it seems like, you know, when we don't have that door to close in the bathroom or the porta potty or we're at the state park going in the restroom or something like that, all of a sudden we're in the backcountry and everything's like, oh, what am I going to do? Like, how do I do this? So this is the discussion that we women need, you know, want to talk about and they need to hear. So let's talk. Let's get it all out.
Yeah. So maybe we can talk about maybe some of the challenges, right? And I think you mentioned you're in a different environment, right? So
let's break it down.
Yeah. So let's break it down. So maybe you're in the great outdoors and, you know, maybe you feel like there's this tiny little bush and you're afraid to go. You get stage fright, right? Because someone's going to come along. Usually it's a Boy Scout troop.
So you have to pee.
If you have to pee.
Yeah. So you have to pee, which is good because if you're hydrating and drinking enough, that's how you know that you need to pee. So if you're going a long enough hike, you should need to pee. Yeah. If you're not peeing, then you're not hydrated.
Yeah, if your pee does not look like this, you're not drinking enough.
Yeah, it's really important for an athlete to drink enough. And how did, when you were on your long trails, do you know, like, how much you need to drink per day to stay hydrated?
It depends a lot on the environment, but kind of a rule of thumb, and I'm sure you also have rules of thumbs, if you've gone the whole day and you haven't peed at least three times, that's a bad sign.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Fatigue sets in, lethargic, you know.
Okay, so you need to pee.
You need to pee.
Where do you go?
Right.
Yeah.
Anywhere. Anywhere, so anyway, darn well please.
With a few small rules. So leave no trace perspective. You want to be about 200 feet away from the water. So which is about 70 to 80 paces if you're trying to figure it out by walking because you may not know 200 feet. So that's number one, if you're near water. Number two, off trail. You want to get off the trail because you don't want to just pee in the trail because you want
people
walking through it.
They say about 100 feet off trail.
Yeah. Yep.
But sometimes it's not, you're not going to have that much. Yeah. Because, you know, different situation, the trail is, you know, goes along, it's up a hill or something like that. So sometimes you just have to go where you can and maybe find that bush, but you definitely want to go away from the water. I think that's one of the most important aspects of it. But
can I add like a little safety element there?
I think you're going to go where I was going to go. Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but like from being like a runner sometimes, or even just hiking with a group, if you have to pee, you know, put like a bandana down or your water bottle down on the trail and step off, because an accident could happen. You could fall off a cliff and no one would know where you are or what have you. And at least if somebody's walking by, they'll be like, oh, you know, somebody must be like, oh, going to the bathroom or something like
that. Well, Severia was telling me about a rule that you guys
So when we lead our big group hikes or when we're teaching class, we always have a lead person in the front and a sweep in the back. And so the rule is, if you need to go to the bathroom, you leave your pack, you take your bathroom, you bring your potty kit with you, we'll talk about that later, off the trail with you, but you leave your backpack, so that way when the sweep comes up, they know that there's somebody still there going to the bathroom, and then you can collect everybody in the group so you don't get separated from your group.
Yeah. So, what was that the same thing that you were going to say? Or do you
very similar. This is kind of embarrassing, but I have stepped off the trail to go to the restroom and haven't been able to find my way back. And I've kind of been circling, and there's some very sad stories about that happening to people on various trails. But just something to keep in mind is try to remember your way back to the trail.
You stay found.
Exactly.
You start like, oh, this rock looked bigger over there. Like, maybe that other rock. Then you go to another rock, and another bush, and then you'd be like,
everything
I have no idea where I am.
Yeah, no, that's
so safety is number one. So even though in a perfect world, they say 100 feet off the trail, if you're worried about getting lost, if the environment, if it's too steep, if it's too rocky, you don't want to put yourself in danger just to go take a pee.
Right. Yeah.
So keep in mind.
Because how many times have you been walking down the trail and a guy's just standing there?
Exactly.
And then, so I swear this happened. And because I know how to pee standing up. And at a race, you know, of course, I don't want to just pee right in front of them. I have a little bit of decency. But so I'm trying to get further enough away. And then I start to pee, and then that guy catches up. And no way, he just stops and like, in shock. I go ahead and go. I've been watching you guys pee like for
the whole
years.
Time. Yeah.
What's the big difference?
Yeah. Okay, then the lesson here for us girls is you have to pee unapologetically.
Yeah. I like that.
Just
I like
as
that.
Much right. To pee in the woods or outside as anybody else, as long as we're not violating any indecent exposure.
Right.
Right? I mean, things like that.
You don't have to dance when you pee.
But you know what? It's nature calls, and dang it, we're going to answer that call.
And if you feel it's too dangerous to step off the side, then just go.
Yeah.
Obviously when you're out. Yeah, so those are solutions. Obviously when you go out to go to the bathroom, there's not a toilet paper roll hanging out waiting for you, and there's not, you know, your sink to wash your hands after. So what do? Right? So how do you make sure that you're still clean, sanitary? There's lots of options. I always travel with my little, like, I call it my potty kit. And in my potty kit, I always have toilet paper. So, and for leave no trace, because you want to pack it out, I usually just carry a little like dog bag to put my used toilet paper in.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah. So, and I can, you know, I have an extra, but I can just use one and just keep putting paper in there. The other things that, here's another important one. If you're in an area where there's lots of mosquitoes and bugs, especially if you're camping or backpacking, I actually usually have little bug repellent wipes. So as soon as I take my pants down, I wipe everywhere so that I don't get eaten by mosquitoes. Because it's happened before. I've gotten lots of mosquito bites while trying to go to the bathroom, so I have bug repellent in there as well.
Spend the rest of the trip like this.
Yeah, like scratching your butt. It's not good, ladies. And then I either will have little hand sanitizer wipes or just a little bottle of hand sanitizer. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm going to use afterwards to clean up. Yeah, and then I also will just for emergencies, and we can talk a little about this later, but I'll have feminine products. Another tip that I do, or trick, so I don't use as much toilet paper, is I will actually just have, even if I'm not on my period, I'll wear a little panty liner in my underwear, and then that way I can just drop, pee really quick, pull back up, you don't even have to worry about toilet paper because the liner is in there, and then that way too I can wear the same underwear for a few days.
That's great.
Backpacking, and just change out the liner. So those are some little tips.
Great.
You're brilliant. Yeah. Great.
Those are my, that's my system.
Nice.
What's your system, Liz?
Well, I'm feeling very unhygienic compared to your system.
Wow.
So I opt for an underwear that is made of wool. So it has natural antibacterial properties. Mm-hmm. And I just got to do the air dry wiggle after I pee.
That's what I do.
Hold up. All right, air dry wiggle. Yeah. But, you know, I have some friends who are especially prone to UTIs. And so being able to wipe with real toilet paper makes a huge difference to them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I totally respect either way. And then I also know some people who use the pee bandana.
The pee bandana. So,
ladies
and gentlemen, when you see a bandana tied to the back of a women's backpack, don't use it to blow your nose.
Because it's probably been used to wipe
your brow.
You have to wipe your brow. It's probably been used for something else. And I actually did this one on one of my long hikes. I used a pee bandana, and I had it on the outside of my backpack, and I woke up the next morning, and a little critter had eaten, had shredded it because of the salt.
They love
salt. So they love salt. So I didn't have to do it.
That's hysterical.
Yep.
Okay. So the other pee that,
We didn't talk about the pumas and our feminine
uterus.
Talk about poo.
No, wait,
you
are.
Okay, I have to wait. You have to wait. Don't rush us. So another little device that we wanted to share with you guys is these feminine uterine devices. And they come in different forms. But basically, these allow us to stand up and pee just like the boys. And so there's different styles. My favorite is the Peebella. And this comes in handy when you are in an area where maybe there's no coverage at all. Like I did the out route from Chamonix, France to Zermatt, Switzerland. And as we're going across the glaciers, you're hooked up and you're in a climbing harness, right? In case you've fallen into a crevasse. And it's really hard to, you know, take your harness off and then have to pee, pull your pants down. But this little thing, all you gotta do is just pull your pants down and put this little guy in. Oh no, don't
fall off the crevasse. And this urinary director will just let you write your name in the snow just like the boys do. So I recommend the Peebella. That is my favorite. But there's also something called the Pee Style. Which one's this?
This is the Freshette, I believe. And so this one, you just sort of same idea. Cup it in there. And then take. And so tips for these guys. Don't wait until you really, really have to go. Because then the flow is really fast. So when you just need to pee, you just use it to pee. Mm-hmm. The other thing is practice.
Practice at home.
In the shower.
Start in the shower. Graduate to the toilet. You know,
and by the
freak
way,
your husband out when he comes in, you're standing peeing.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Right, and the other thing is, and just even if you're not going to use one of these, and you're going to go and squat in the woods for the first time, you know, practice squatting at home. I mean, you don't have to pee when you squat, but make sure you can squat, because some people are just really uncomfortable squatting in just bending down to a squat. Another thing you can do is you can hold onto a tree. And then that can help you squat. Also, you can just kind of stick your butt out. You can kind of pee standing. Like Cindy talks about, you know, peeing standing up. Like, what the heck am I talking about?
So I just stand up with, like, kind of like you're in the position like riding a horse. And you're wearing shorts. Yeah. And you just pull the shorts to the side and you pee. And then you let the shorts go.
That's a good win an award for that.
Okay.
One last thing about peeing, too.
And speaking. Oh, yeah?
Oh, one last thing is that I usually hike in a skirt, and one of the reasons I do that is because it's so much easier to pee.
Yeah. Perfect. And to poop.
Move
on. Anybody want to have a
coffee? I don't know.
All right.
Cheers.
Cheers. I know, so gross.
Eat your own poop.
Oh, I know we're supposed to be talking about pooping right now. Pooping in the woods.
Okay.
So, similar issues, similar challenges, right? I mean, it's actually a bigger ordeal. Like, it's, you know, because now you got.
It's really important to have a bowel movement.
Oh, yeah.
Don't just like, I'm going out on a 5-day backpacking trip and I'll go to the bathroom when I, you know, come back home. That's not healthy.
No.
No, it will end up to be airlifted out because you're sick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and ultimately, yeah, because you need your calories to you know, when you're backpacking or whatever it is, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, you can. And but again, this comes down to being prepared, okay? You know that when you're backpacking, in most places, you're going to need a shovel, okay? Because you're going to have to squat. We're going back to squatting again, right? Mm-hmm. But you're going to need a shovel because you're going to have to dig a hole. And that hole's got to be between six and eight inches deep.
Now, 4 to 6 wide.
Yeah, and this shovel is, the shovel trowel blade here is 6 inches, right? So that's a good guide. But you carry one of these shovels, you dig your hole, and you do your business. Now, of course, you're going to carry your toilet paper with you.
Right. So what are you going to do with the toilet paper? Are you going to leave it there, like, for to blow around in the lake and Alpine Lake? No.
And you don't bury it in the hole.
And you
the
do not
only
bury
thing
it.
That goes in the hole?
Leave no trace.
Some more cupcake. Yeah.
Leave no trace.
And that's true. So, in some cases, by the way, some people use toilet paper, some people don't. Some people use twigs, right, to clean up your business, or leaves, whatever. Just make sure it's not poison oak. Yeah. Bad scenario there.
It's like, I put my bug spray on my bug, but I put like a poison oak leaf also there.
Yeah. Good. And again, so similar, you know, ways of methods of actually, you know, positioning yourself, and one of them you could be holding the tree. Some people find a couple rocks or some kind logs of, that are together and kind of
make your own toilet.
Yeah. You know, things like that. But and then there are some scenarios, like if you're gonna hike Mount Whitney, mm-hmm. Where in the Whitney zone you have to carry your poop out. And yes, how in
that's
the heck
shocking for a lot of people.
Right.
There's a lot of people that just do the day hike and go up to Mount Whitney and they don't know anything. Like, what? You're going to give me a bag? And what am I supposed to do?
It sounds a lot worse than it is.
Yeah. And a lot of times on glacier travel or in snow, you have to use a wag bag because even if you dig 6 inches when the snow melts,
it's going to be pretty.
It's going to be pretty.
So, wag bags, okay? They kind of look like this. Now, when you buy them in the store, they look like this. Or when you when you get a permit to hike the Mount Whitney Trail, for instance, they'll issue you one. It's included in the cost of the permit, so one per person. These bags can be used more than once. But basically, this bag consists of bags inside bags.
Can we help you?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Be your assistant.
Yes. Hold this.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm going to just put this one. This is a redundant here. But inside the bag,
kitty litter.
You will have your little, gives you a little package of toilet paper.
It's like 4 squares. It's not enough.
Yeah, you might want to reinforce.
It's funny. I was like,
that.
Oh, this is so much. They get so much toilet paper.
Exactly. And then this is a little hand wipe cleaner, too.
That's a nice touch,
when
too.
You're done. But basically what you do is you find your spot. And some, you know, places, there are trees. Other times there's just some rocks. But basically, you're going to open up this big bag.
Wow.
Right?
You can't miss.
Right?
And, and then, so inside this bag, there's gel, and WAG stands for waste alleviation and gel, gelification or something like that. But anyway, but this gel goes inside this bag, and then it activates when it gets wet, so you can pee in the bag a little bit. And then, just get it ready.
Can we demonstrate
Yes, you can. And this particular kit happened to come with a target. So you can have a little bit of fun.
Or you have to pretend to poop,
Cindy. Okay, I'm gonna be your outdoor toilet.
Here, make sure your poo hits the target.
Okay. The target, not me.
Okay.
Poop. Oh!
Nice.
Well done. Bravo.
Samaria,
okay,
you didn't poop.
You're not regular.
Wow.
Nailed it.
You've been eating well on the trail. So then, when you're done, you're just going to wrap it all up.
Wow.
I hope.
Oh, well, wait, we're not done because we didn't put our toilet paper in there.
That's right.
So you take your little toilet paper, and then you put that in there. You can even clean your hands with your hand cleaner. Put it in there.
Wait, I want my little friends.
Oh.
Okay, so go ahead.
As long as you carry them out. Okay. Anyway, but you tie it up.
Get all that air out.
Get all that air out for sure. And that gel is going to go to work, and it's going to basically neutralize the smell, break down the contents.
And you know what? Everybody is carrying one, so
it's
really good. That was a very good point.
Yeah. And then you store it outside of your tent.
you don't have to put it in your backpack right away. You store it outside of your tent. The bears are not going to come get it. The marmots don't even want it.
No, I'm not interested.
You know, so yeah, and then that's pretty much what it looks like. And then, you know, the next day when you're going to backpack out, you just sneak it into your friend's backpack and they can carry it down for you. Absolutely. But anyway, so that's kind of another way of managing your human waste, because there's so many people now that are going in the outdoors. In places like Mount Whitney, they become very popular places. I mean, it's very hard to get a permit anymore, and I think there's going to be more and more places like that are going to start, you know, requiring this, because it's no fun to, you know, set up your camp and then, you know, you go dig a hole and then there's someone else already filled it, right? So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Also, this is something I learned from experience. I was panicking once because I really had to go and I couldn't find a good, I was like, I'm not going to be able to dig my hole fast enough. You can just poop and then dig your hole and then put said poop in hole versus absolutely. Having a poop emergency while you're trying to dig your hole, because sometimes it happens.
Definitely.
So as long as it gets in the hole, and you don't want to use this to put the
don't
poo in the
it.
Hole.
No.
The shovel never touches the poo. It only touches dirt. You can use other objects to get it in the hole.
Because that you might be, you know, eating with that shovel.
Speaking of eating, it's also really super important to, especially after pooping, make sure that you're hand sanitizing and cleaning. Cleaning your hands, because you don't want poo nail. Because if you're cooking, you're getting to camp at night, and you aren't being sanitary, that's a whole other story.
That's why whenever I meet someone on the trail, instead of shaking their hand and be like, oh, what, Liz? I do like an elbow bump.
Oh, that's so funny.
You can never
nice
trust.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
I like that, actually.
Good idea. I'm never going to forget that.
I know. I'm never going to shake somebody's hand again.
Thank you.
No, you're good.
Okay. So let's move on to,
what's our third P?
Bloody hell. Bloody hell. We're going to talk about periods.
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 Okay. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And it does. It happens. Oh, yes.
And some people, like sometimes you could plan a backpacking trip so that you're not going to be on your period. But a lot of times you have to get the permit so far in advance, like you're just happy to get the permit.
Exactly. Yeah.
So let's just prepare for it, talk about it. And so if it happens, it's like, nah, it doesn't affect you at all. So the challenges are, like we talked about, packing out all of your tissue paper. That means if you use a tampon or a pad, you're gonna have to be packing these out. So that doesn't seem fun. I guess it's what we have to do if we have to do it. But are there any other options?
There are.
So there's the one
there's
option.
A sponsor option.
Yeah, there's a sponsor option.
Gee, I bet Melanie knows of anything.
I bet Melanie knows.
Melanie, can you
talk to us? But if you're on the pill, sometimes, like when I used to be on the pill, I would just actually stay on it. Like you normally have the week where you go off and that's when you get your period. If I knew it was coming up on a like important trip or an important weekend, I would just switch to the next month and just go straight through, and then I would just basically skip one period. So that's one option.
Talk to your doctor.
Yes, talk to your doctor about that. But that was one of my tricks.
Yeah.
But they're all because they did.
Okay. So there is another option, and we have here the Diva Cup. It is a menstrual cup, and it's inserted and will catch the flow for 12 hours. So so this is nice. So you can sleep through the night in it. You can swim, you can bike.
So these things are actually pretty cool because I think they used to make a version, not Diva, but another company used to make a version of this. And I think they used to be hard plastic.
They are a lot softer now.
I remember
the ones. I had one that was like.
When I was reading about it, some people were like, oh, that's harder.
So I was a little kid, and I was out collecting things in my neighborhood, and I was building this collage, and I made this building, and I put the top on this. I literally found this in the trash, and I was very proud, and I brought this home to my parents, and my mom's like, give me that thing. Take that off.
Wow.
And I didn't know what it was at the time, but anyway. But these are just super soft and squishy. So
they have on the side, like, how to fold it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just pop it in there, and then boink. And then, anyway, this takes some practice, no doubt about it.
Yeah, so this is not like, oh, next weekend I'm going on that backpacking trip, I'm going to start my period. Oh, I heard about this cup. Bing. No, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So it does take some practice.
So, and what is really cool about this, and I don't think there's any other way you could manage it. You know, like when you go to the doctor and the doctor's like, so how is your flow? You know, do you have heavy flow, low flow? Well, this actually has the milliliters on it. I think it's in milliliters on the cup. Yeah, I think that's what it is. But anyway, you can measure, and I think that's 30 milliliters. Anyway, but you can track your flow, and then that kind of helps you know what to expect, you know, every month and when it comes, and you can figure out what size cup you need and how long you can leave it in there.
Right. And, so this is about the equivalent of three.
So this is like a shot, right?
Oh, it's happening.
This
cheers.
Is red wine. Cheers.
So it's about an ounce.
Look, it doesn't. No waste. Okay. It doesn't leak out the bottom. So why this little nub? So you can easily pull it out.
So this is your little.
So after it comes
to
out,
make it easier to pull it out.
If you're a vampire, you can just drink your own blood.
This is true. Yep, and there are cultures, I'm sure, that have done this.
Okay.
No. Anyway, we're stopping anyway.
And so, and Liz, you're a fan, right?
It definitely saves on volume. I don't have to worry about timing my resupplies so that I have tampons or pads. It's always there. Yeah. It weighs less than an ounce.
How do you clean it in the outdoors?
Yeah, that's a really important question for the outdoors.
I could tell you what I do. I'm not sure it's necessarily the best one plan for everyone.
Melanie's like,
so when we're at home, the best plan is to boil it in water. Okay. I will just pee on it. Okay. When I studied abroad in Botswana, and one of the things that we learned is that some people, when they don't have water, when they live in the desert, will pee on tools to make it sterile, and pee is arguably sterile. So Melanie can probably prove me wrong, but I haven't had any issues and it works really well for me. Right. And especially when I don't have any water, like when I'm hiking across the desert, I've got,
want to save it.
That's actually really cool.
For sure.
So one of the things Melanie said is, you know, preferably we have, if you can drink the water, then that's the water you use to clean.
Right.
So don't wash it in the stream, you know, and also, like, obviously making sure your hands are clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, if you have wipes or just, you know, just cleanliness.
Actually, the pee thing kind of makes sense. I kind of like it.
Right. And the other thing is just, and before you insert it or remove it, wash your hands.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I mean,
and that way you're not introducing any foreign microbes or something into your system. But I think this is a really great solution. And I think, and again, you know, practice it at home and before you go out into the wilderness. And, you know, before you know it, you'll be using this every day or every month, you know. And I think it's another great component
to this, I mean, outside of being an outdoor enthusiast, is just the sustainability.
Yeah. Yes.
Like,
Cindy did some research.
Yeah.
And, you know, in your lifetime, we contribute to 300 pounds of tampons or pads.
Per person.
In the landfills. Like, so that's the size of
an adult panda bear.
Right.
Well, we looked it up.
Money.
300 pounds.
Money you'll save.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
how much do you spend in feminine protection products that are consumable, right?
Not to mention that all of those products require chemicals and they require water to manufacture. Mm-hmm. And even the organic ones, there's still some labor, there's still some carbon footprint involved with the manufacturing of them.
Definitely.
Exactly. So there's three colors here. They come in three different sizes. Zero.
It wasn't like blue, you like pink. No, it doesn't work that way.
Here's a zero, which is for under 18 years of age. And then there is a one, which is someone between 20 and 30 years old, haven't had a child. And then the two, which is it, basically, if you've had a child, that's probably going to work best for you.
Or if you're over 30.
If you're over 30. And you've had a little fun in your life. Or a lot of fun. Just kidding.
So we've talked about you can bike, you can swim, you can do...
And you can wash it in Diva Wash, too. They have
their
own.
There you go.
It's a very mild cleaner.
I doubt you're going to carry that with you on the three
hikes. I might in a little dropper.
Yeah, yeah, just knowing that it's really sterile and how important it is.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah.
So what else? What else is comes up when we're dealing with menstruation in the wilderness? I mean, I think one of the things that one of the myths that was going around for a long time after the night of the Grizzlies in 1967, and I think it was in Glacier Park. A couple women were attacked, but it wasn't just the women, they were men too, but one of them was menstruating. So then that kind of started this whole fear about, oh, the bears was attracted to this menstruating woman. And so the Yellowstone National Park and the Forest Interagency Service, they conducted research on that, and they discovered that grizzly bears and black bears are not at all attracted by menstruating women. They put used pads out. They put menstruating women out, and the bears.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, they did.
I can just imagine they put women like in cages, and they saw if the bears come or not.
Yeah, yeah. No, but that is an absolute myth. There are no animals that are attracted to that. The only occasion is that if your menstrual pads are mixed with food or something like that, you know, then they might be interested. But no, you can go out. Don't let the bears, fear the bears, stop you.
I just saw a laughy face go bad. Okay.
I would say one other thing too, for like pad, like if you are a person who the menstrual cup isn't going to work for and you're going to do pads or tampons, they also work in first aid scenarios. Mm-hmm. So having a pad or having a tampon in your first aid kit, or just sort of always with you in your 10 essentials, you can use them for nosebleeds. You can use them to stop like big wounds because they absorb blood. So that's another thing too. And guys, if there's any guys watching the show, if you want to be a hero, seriously, like have a tampon or a pad in your bag. Yeah. And when you're hiking with your girlfriends and your lady friends and something, the time comes unexpectedly and you're like, oh, I happen to have one, dude.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Hero.
What a hero.
Total hero status right there.
Oh yeah, that's the okay. Tip of the day. All righty, well.
So I think it's time to hear from our listening audience. Yeah. Hopefully we have some questions out there and we would love to answer them. So bring on the questions.
Do we have anything? Fly the questions.
Your questions.
Woo! Put your head up.
Oh, Batman! You just that never know how the questions are
going to be delivered.
Okay, so the first question is from Erica. Thank you so much for contributing. What is the best way to get rid of wipes, toilet paper, and use feminine products on the trail? Is a Ziploc bags pack out your best option?
So we talked a little bit about the dog poo bag. You can put them in there. I also have I've just taken a Ziploc freezer bag with cute duct tape. And so I'll just cover the duct tape because that way it's not unsightly. So it's hiding what's in there and it's a little bit stronger. So if you're worried about that dog bag being a little too thin or not being strong enough and you really want something that's going to seal, I would recommend.
And that way you don't mistake it for a snack.
Yes. And this is like the unmentionables go in here. So and you can make it really cute and fun. So that would be one of my recommendations.
Yeah.
I would thanks, say Erica.
Another way you can do it is just take like a used ramen wrapper or used Snicker wrapper and put, specifically it works really well for used tampons.
That's a good idea.
Put it in there and then it's trash anyway.
Put it in your trash bag.
Yeah.
And you can have a special pocket for it or something like that too, right?
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay, we have a question from Diane. Diane, thank you so much for watching. Okay, so what is the best way to teach a girl to pee in the woods? Well, Diane, I think that one's pretty easy. I think you have to show her. I mean, something tells me she may have shown you. I don't know, but I think that we as older women, we need to be role models, right?
Yeah. I know it sounds silly. Go in the backyard. Like, I know that because it's, like, non-intimidating, it's close to home, and I know that sounds really silly, but, like, the dogs go in the backyard, but just, you know, if you have a private backyard or someplace, just go and practice there, and you can practice, you know, squatting, personally, like, I like to squat really low, because that way it feels like it doesn't get on me as much or doesn't splatter, but just practice.
Yeah.
Before you go out and then you're nervous and you're scared and worried about it, make it fun, make it a game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I had a question for you three that I get a lot from my students. What do you do when you pee on your shoes? I mean, not purposely, but it just happens.
Keep walking.
I keep walking. I let it dry.
Okay. She's like, answer, Cindy. So it has happened because I stand up and I have to be careful of the wind. The wind blows. So I'll go further to say that before it hits my shoes, it also hits my leg. I'm like, oh man, I smell homeless. So usually I have a water reservoir, like with a hose, like a pack. And I'll just squirt it and just let it go down my leg. Or, or if I get it on my shorts, I'll just open my shorts up and I'll just rinse off a little bit. But on my shoes, I'm just like, I've probably stepped in coyote, rat, everything poo.
It's just going to dry up.
So I'm fine people, with it on my shoe, yeah. But when, you know, I smell homeless, like, yeah. So, yeah, that's what I do.
What about you? I keep walking as well. Just keep on moving.
Okay. Marianne, thank you so much for asking the questions. What is the best alternative to toilet paper?
Oh, I think, one, it depends on the job at hand, right? Right? If we're dealing with number one, I stick with the win, baby. But if we're dealing with number two, you know what? Honestly, if you, a little stick, if you get into a really deep squat, you got plenty of clearance there.
I know.
And you just, this little guy just comes right out, pinches right off.
What if he doesn't?
And, but if he doesn't, you take the stick, and you just kind of do a little twist, a little roll, and there you go.
So I'm going to go for some softer alternatives.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to go, like, leaves or work. And the other one, too, no, sounds weird, but pine cones. So if you have, like, not like an open, like, pokey pine cone, but, like, if sometimes you'll find them when they're still closed and they're actually soft. So you can use a little pine cone
it's
to do some business.
Sticky.
Or a rock. You can find like a smooth rock.
Another softer alternative. I vote for the rock.
My favorite is snow.
Snow.
Yes. Cleaning job.
Yeah.
If you can find snow.
And snow is a little dicey because you got to make sure that you're burying your poop in the dirt and not in the snow.
If I can tear the map,
be careful about that
I'm going to use the map.
Yeah.
But not the whole thing.
Great question, Marianne. Thank you.
You're
so
awesome.
Much.
Thank you. I hope we helped.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
I get the next one.
Okay. I thought we were back to square one. I feel like
this is the last one. Question from Erica. Do you need to rinse the pee tubes after each use, or is it okay to wash at the end of the trip?
So that's a
good question. So you don't always have to, because some of these, like this pee Bella, it doesn't absorb anything. So the pee will just dry out. And pee, fortunately, doesn't have any harmful microbes. So when it dries out, it just dries out. So good idea is to keep it in a well-ventilated bag or something like that. It actually comes in a plastic bag, but it actually has a little hole in it, so it helps dry it out. So you don't have to necessarily rinse it out. So
these are all fantastic
questions.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for joining us. And if you have enjoyed the show, please like us, share us, and connect with us. You can email us at jigaboomtv@gmail.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsors, Loa Boots. Thank you so much.
Thank
I
you.
Hope I can't wait to see who's going to win that. And also Diva Cup
and Melanie.
Thank you so much. Really
for
appreciate
being with
you
us.
Staying up late with us. And
I should go to bed.
Liz, you've just been awesome. It's
thank
so,
you so
nice
much
to
for
meet
having
you.
Me on the show. Yeah.
So excited to read your book and more about you. And ladies, you guys have just been awesome. Yep. So remember, Chickaboom is an off-trail, lively, and discussions that we're just going to ignite your adventurous side for women, by women. Thank you so much for joining us.
See you next time.
Cheers, everybody.